welcome to class. Sorry, don't seem to be out loud yet. Welcome to class today. Glad to see you all here. Before we begin, any comments, questions, concerns, or other things for me? Okay, so let's talk about a couple of quick announcements then. So, as some of you have discovered, CoLab did something weird with quiz 3, which is the one that's currently live. Question 2 is supposed to be multiple choice and isn't, which means that I won't be able to make any sense out of what CoLab says the score is, but it's too late to change it. So if you see a question that acts like it's multiple choice but isn't, and has a boxed inner text, I don't care what you put there, because I'm going to ignore the question. The rest of the quiz still works. So there's that announcement. The other announcement that's worth making, homework 1 has been posted. So if you go to the course website, you'll see a link for the homework. We'll talk a little bit about how that works in the second part of the lecture today, because I want to get a little background there first, but we'll talk about that. So it's around, it's live, it's due a week from today, and we'll spend some more time talking about bits and pieces of how that works a little later on today. So today what we're going to do is we are going to focus on just working through some very basic parts of Java in a manner similar, although not quite identical, to what the textbook does in Chapter 2. So we're going to walk through some examples. We're going to talk about each piece of them in some detail. I mentioned the last couple of times we were walking through code that if you didn't catch it all, that was fine. Now, if you don't catch it all, ask a question, and we'll fix it. So we're just going to start walking through bits and pieces as we go. So let me also, before I begin, I've had a few people ask, should I bring a computer? Should I follow along on my computer? There's a diversity of opinions on this subject. Some people find trying to keep up with what I'm typing on my computer means the moment you press the wrong key, you lose track of what I'm saying, and then you never catch up again. And other people find if they don't follow along on their computer, then it doesn't seem real. So by and large, as far as we can tell, not following along on your computer is slightly more likely to be the correct activity than following along. But if you want to do the other way around, that's of course your business. So, that said, let's talk about the basics of what happens in Java and work our way up a little bit at a time. So, we've talked before about the basics of Eclipse, about the idea that there's projects, that each project has an SRC folder, and inside of that is where our code goes. Okay? If you want to remind yourself, you can make both projects and classes, which are what we call the files we'll be editing, through the new menu in the file. Right? So if you don't see a project you want, you say new project. If you don't see a class you want, you say new class. And away you go. Okay? Depending on what version of Eclipse you have, you may have more or less other options, but Java project and class are the two we will care about. When you create your class, you can choose to check the box that says generate public static void main string bracket bracket args. And if you do, it will generate it for you. If it don't, you'll have to type it yourself. For the next 4 weeks or 5 weeks maybe, every program we'll write will have a public static void main string bracket bracket args. So you're going to want to add it every time. Eventually that will no longer be true, but for now it will be. So the very bare bones version of a program looks like this. It's got a public class something and a public static void main string bracket bracket args. And that's all that we need. I can run this program. Oh, well, I should be able to run this program. Yes, so I run it. It may ask me, do I want to save it? I'm going to check always save, so we'll just do that. And I run it and nothing happens because this is that very interesting program that does nothing. And so when I tell it to do it, it does exactly what I asked it to, which is nothing. So let's talk about the pieces here. Public. We'll get more into public when we talk about things that aren't public. But what public means is any other part of the Java world is allowed to use this. In particular, the run button is allowed to use this. So we're going to make our programs public. Both the class and the method will be public so that other people can use them. There are ways of restricting certain other parts of Java not to use what we write, and those will become useful about halfway through the semester, and we'll talk about why they're useful when they are. But for now, it's public. A class in Java can mean multiple things, but for now, a class means the place we put methods. So every class is a place we could put methods. It's like a recipe book. Right now we're going to have only one method in it. We will see later that in addition to being like a recipe book, it also acts like a blueprint. So it can describe things that can be done and things we can make, both. And we'll talk about that, how it can describe things we can make later. But for now, it's just a bucket to put methods in. We'll see a little bit on Friday. We can also put constants in it, and we'll talk about what that is. But for now, it's just a bucket for methods. So we have a public class, and the name of the public class needs to be the same as the name of our file. Case matters. Okay? Simple with a capital S and simple with a lowercase s are different things. You cannot interchange them. They are completely different words in Java's mind. If I change it to a lowercase s, it will complain, because lowercase s is not the right case for this class. I made the file named with a capital S, so the class name has to have a capital S. There was no magic to my picking a capital S there. I mean, I could have named this anything I wanted, but whatever I name it has to also be the name of the file. And then we have curly braces. Curly braces enclose the information that's associated with whatever's right before them. So I have public class simple, and then curly braces, those curly braces that follow public class simple, enclose the stuff that is part of public class simple. Enclose the methods that I am bundling together in this recipe book, this program. So that's that first line. The second line here is defining a method. So we've talked a little about methods. It's a named group of actions. And every piece of this means something, and every piece of it will be important. We mentioned a little what public means. Okay? Static we won't talk about, probably until after spring break, in any great detail. Void we'll talk about in about 3 weeks. So for now, we don't really care about that either. Main, in general, you can name your methods anything you want, but main is the one that's attached to the run button. So you want to name it main. If you name it something else, Java will try to run something else, and it won't find it, and it will blow up, and it won't run. Okay. And then every method has, in parentheses, some information that's being provided to the program. This particular strange information that's being provided to every main method is a holdover from the days before there were Windows and graphics at all, and everything was text-based, and it's still there. And we'll basically ignore it the entire semester. We will eventually learn what it means, but we'll never actually use it. And then again, we have curly braces, which tell us what it is that is being part of main, right? So the curly braces that follow something enclose the stuff that belongs to the thing before. So inside these curly braces is where we can do things. I still haven't made the program do anything, but I've talked a bit. Questions about any of these pieces that I have mentioned? Okay, there are pieces of this I did not explain in detail. So another way of thinking about this is every program you write has to have these two lines. And you just put it in there. Poof. And we'll talk about why later. You can think of it as there's magical boilerplate or whatever you want to think about it as. All right. Let's go with a very simple program. The standard beginning program looks roughly like this. We are going to say, this is a program. If I can spell correctly. Okay. So I'm making this one line here, and we'll talk about each piece of this a little bit. Now when I run it, I will see this is a program appears in some box that Eclipse calls the console. Where the console appears depends on how you've got Eclipse set up. So right now it's over there, but if I click this, then it pops down there, and there's different ways of getting it around, but it'll show up somewhere. Okay? And this is where we're going to start interacting, putting letters into a little box called the console inside of Eclipse. So not user-friendly, but easy, and it'll let us explore a lot of the basics of programming before we get to some of the more complicated issues of making nicer user interfaces. So let's talk about this magical line. We've seen a little of this before as we looked at Turtle and Whirl, but let me talk about it in a little more detail. Let's start by talking about dot. Okay? The dot operator means I'm talking to the thing on the left. You can think of it as meaning apostrophe S. So another way of thinking of this is I am saying I want to do systems outs println thing. Okay? So system is what's called, it's also a class, like this is a class. It has inside of it a bunch of different things, and one of the things it has is out. Out is its representation of that console, that window where we can put text. It's actually one half of its representation of that. We'll see the other half a little later on. Okay? So out is this thing that's capable of writing text, and it has various methods built into it. Things it can do. One of the things it can do is print a line of text. Okay? So the println method inside the out object, inside the system class, is the method we use to put text into that window. There is also one that does not have the L in. It's just print. And they differ in that if I say println, it'll print what I ask it to do and then it'll go to the next line. If I don't say println, if I just say print, it'll print what I ask it to say and it'll stay where it was. If I ask it to print again, it'll continue. We'll see that in a moment. We got these two ways of putting information there. The parentheses is the information I'm giving the method. Right? So println wants some information, wants to know what to print. And then what I'm printing here is this is a program in quotes. The quotes are important. The quotes tell Java that this is a program should be treated as text, as what's called a string of characters, instead of as variables or names it's supposed to interpret. So I put it in quotes, I say, don't understand what this is, just use these characters as characters. Put a T and an H and an I and an S and a space and so on. That's what I want to print. And so it will print that. And I can change this around. I can make more of these. Okay. I can have as many of them as I want, and when I run this, they each happen one after the other. Okay. The one other interesting thing, is going on here is the semicolons. Each time I tell Java to do something, when I finish saying what that one thing to do is, I put a semicolon. That one step along the path is called a statement, and every statement is ended by a semicolon, unless it's ended by a curly brace instead. And we'll see a few that use curly braces later, but for now they all have semicolons. So each time I say something, I put in a semicolon to say, I have finished telling you this one thing, go do it, and then I'll tell you the next thing to do. Questions? Yes?
So ln stops it from going to the next line?
ln causes it to go to the next line. So let's see what happens if I get rid of this ln. Okay, so the first one's a print, the second one's a println. I don't go to a new line when I'm finished printing the first one. Okay, so ln means when you're done printing, go to a new line. If I don't have the ln, it will not go to a new line when I'm done printing. Let's try this. That might work a little better. Yeah. Okay. So if I don't have the ln, I do not go to a new line after the first print. Yes?
You said system is a class.
Out is what's called an object. We'll talk about what objects are a little bit later today. Okay. But you can think of it sort of like a value, a complicated value that's capable of doing stuff. When we made turtles and worlds, right? When I made Shelley and so on, those turtle objects were objects, and Alice is an object like that. But instead of representing a turtle, it represents that particular window called the console. Anything else you'd like me to clarify? All right, let's play with this a little bit. Let's see how much we can change without breaking anything. Okay? So, let's start by talking about spacing. Just like in English, if I read an essay and the spacing is weird, I just assume it's bad poetry, but I still know what it's saying. Okay? Similarly, if I just randomly start changing spacing here, wherever I want to change it, okay, it will still work. It's just sort of a strange thing to have done. Okay? And it makes it hard to read, but Java doesn't care. Almost all the time, all Java cares about is when does one token, one word, or piece of information stop and the next one start. So I can put all this extra spacing in here, and from Java's perspective, I changed nothing. It's exactly the same program it was. From a human's perspective, it is garbled and hard to read. Okay? But that spacing doesn't matter. Now, there are places that spacing does matter. If I are, for example, to get rid of the space between two words, they become one word, and the one word means something different. So I have to have something between words. Okay, I cannot get rid of that space. Although where there's things like parentheses, I can. Okay. The other thing I cannot do is I can't add a space in the middle of something. I'm not allowed to add spaces in the middle of words because that splits them into two words. But other than that, I'm allowed to do whatever I want to the spacing. That said, don't. Okay? So Java won't complain, Eclipse won't complain, but here's how we're going to use things so that we can read it. We're going to have one statement per line. There will not be more than one semicolon on a line except in a for loop, and we'll talk about those in a few weeks. So in general, one semicolon per line, the end. Closing curly braces will always be on their own line, and opening curly braces we're always going to put on the same line as whatever was before them. The textbook puts them on their own line. The problem with putting them on their own line is that when we do that, a lot of you will start putting in semicolons where they don't belong and things will break. So we're going to put our opening curly braces on the same line as there was before, closing braces all the way on their own line, and we're going to indent things inside curly braces. Okay? In general, we're not going to use a lot of other spaces. We may throw a blank line in here and there, but in general, that's all we're going to do. All right. The other place that spacing matters is inside strings. Okay? So string, remember, that's what we call text in quotes. Spaces inside those are spaces. And so if I put more spaces, there are more spaces, and those spaces are part of the string. So if I'm inside a string, spacing matters all the way, and every kind of space is different. So a space is different than a tab inside a string. Outside of a string, they're all the same, and it doesn't really matter. But inside a string, it does. Okay, I think that's everything I wanted to say about this very basic example. Any questions about this basic example before we move on to other topics? All right. So, let's start adding some other stuff. Java has the notion of type. Everything has a type. Every object, every entity that exists, everything we talk about has a type of value. Okay? So if I were to, for example, talk about numbers, in Java there are, make sure I get this right, I think there are 7 types of numbers. Okay? The basic ones are the integers and the non-integers, but then there's 4 different types of integers and 2 types of non-integers, and then characters, which are kind of like integers. Okay? And the reason there's all these types has to do with how it's storing it in memory and needs to keep them straight. But what we need to know is everything has a type. So if I want to have a variable something that can store information. Remember, variable is a box. Okay, so if I want to have a box, that box has to have a type. So I can make an int variable, and it could store a 3. Int is the most common type of integer. So usually if we want an integer number, something with no remainder, no decimal point, we'll use int. Okay? I can make a double. Double is the most common type of number that does have a decimal point, that doesn't have to be a whole number. Okay? So I want a double. I can do that. And as I'm writing these lines, the box x that's created by making a variable can only store ints. And 3 is an int. The box y can only store doubles, these non-integer, or they're possibly integer, but these fractional numbers. And 3.14 is a double. The type of the value is double, the type of the box is double. Okay. There's a couple others as well. There's 8 primitive types. There's 8 types built into Java from the very ground up. There's int, there's double, there's 3 other kinds of int and 1 other kind of double that I'm not going to talk about much during the book. There's also characters and booleans, which we'll talk about in a moment. Yes?
Does double have anything to do with the number of decimal places?
Basically, no. So why is double called double? Double is called double because in the early days of computing, somebody came up with a model for how to represent non-integer numbers. And they called it float because the decimal point could float around in the number. And then somebody else said, it doesn't have enough information. We need a bigger one. We'll make one twice as big. We'll call it twice as big. Let's call it double. And so that's what we all use.
Okay, so you can put as many decimals.
No, actually. Okay? So that's a good question. So let's do this real quick here. If I do system.println x, let's print out y as well. Okay? And I run this. And they print out just like I expect. Okay? But you said, can we put as many decimal places as we want? Let's find out. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So I've got 21 decimal places in total. And I run this, and I don't have 21 decimal places. Okay? You have somewhere between 16 and 17, and it actually is between, because it's not storing it in base 10, it's storing it in base 2. And so it's about 16 and a third decimal places of precision is what it has. Now, it doesn't matter how big the number is. It's got that same number decimal places of precision. Okay? This decimal place, I can move it around. And we'll talk about this E in a moment. I get the same number of significant digits. Okay? However, I can also have E is shorthand for times 10 to the. Okay? So when I say 3.01234567890123454, E14... that means times 10 to the 14th power. Okay? So it's a shorthand way of doing scientific notation. You'll notice not only does it not have quite the right number of digits, but it gets the last one wrong. Because again, it's storing it in base 2 and transforming it into base 10, and the transformation is not perfect. Other questions? Okay, so I've got these basic types. I can make integers, I can make doubles. The other types that we will talk about much this semester, I can make characters, which represent a single letter punctuation space, one character. And to represent them, I put single quotes, an apostrophe, okay, around the single character I want to represent. And we've got something called Boolean, which is either true or false. And that's all it could possibly be. We'll talk more about Booleans next week as we get into a little bit of decision statements and why they're useful. Okay? But for the most part, these are the 4 types that your computer knows about. Integers, it's got some that are bigger and some that are smaller, but they're integers. It's got non-integer numbers, which we use double instead of float because That's what Java likes. It's got characters, a single letter, space, punctuation, just one thing, and Booleans, either true or false. And that's what's available. These are called the primitive types. They're primitive in a couple ways. They're primitive in the sense that they're built in. They're what's there under everything else. They're also primitive in that they're pretty stupid. They can't do very much. So it is never possible to use dot something on a primitive. I can't talk to 7. Right? I cannot use any methods on 7. I can't say 7 dot something to get some method inside of it. It can't do anything. Like turtles and worlds, I can talk to them. Strings I can talk to. System.out I can talk to. I can't talk to 7. I can't talk to x. I can't talk to pi. I can't talk to any of these primitive values. They're just values. What I can do with values is use operators. And these mostly look like you'd expect. Okay? So, for example, I can say x plus 3 or y divided by 7. Okay? Let's get rid of this extra digit so that this shows up more cleanly. Okay? So I can use operators like plus and divide on primitive types. And they do math. Yes?
Do you need to have the spaces between like x space plus plus?
No. Remember, we just said spacing is optional unless you need it to separate two words. Okay? So Java decides operators are not part of words. So you can't put a plus in the middle of a word and make it one word. So you don't need the space. I'll usually write the spaces because I think it's easier to read. And it's fairly standard to put spaces around operators, although it's not immediately clear why. Okay. So there are 5 mathematical operators built into Java. There's plus, and as you might expect, along with plus, there's minus. There is times, which is written as an asterisk. There's divide, which is written as a slash. And then the weird one, there's modulo, which is written as a percent sign. Okay? Modulo is the remainder after you finish doing division. So I can divide and I can get the modulo, the remainder of division, as a different operator. So if I run this, you'll see that 3 plus 3 was 6, 3 minus 3 was 0, 3 times 3 was 9, 3 divided 3 by 3 was 1, and the remainder of 3 divided by 3 was 0. Okay? If I had picked some other number here, what's the remainder, say, of 3 divided by 2? I would see the remainder of that is 1. Okay? It gives me the remainder. It'll even give me the remainder in ways you wouldn't expect. For example, what's the remainder of 3 divided by 1.23? It happens to be 0.54. Okay? Remainder is well-defined for fractions. We just never teach it to people in elementary school. It's just whatever is the non-integer part, whatever is left over when you make a perfect division. And so modulo will give us that remainder back. So we have operators. We can use operators on primitives. They work basically like math. We use them basically like math. There's a few little weird quirks. Integers don't behave like you'd expect all the time. We'll talk about some of those on Friday. But for the most part, we've got them. You can use parentheses to make more complicated expressions. Away we go. Questions about primitives? All right. Let's talk a little bit about what we should think about these things looking like. So, if this will react for me, it turned off. Perhaps I will not be able to do this. It looks like my device turned off. Hold on. Okay. Well, all right. Maybe before we talk about what this looks like, while I wait for my device to roar back up so I can draw things, Let's remind ourselves of one more aspect of variables. Okay, so one more interesting aspect about variables. Okay, I've got my drawing. I'll do that in arrows. Okay, so when I am thinking about a variable, when I write something like x, int x, the phrase int x means somewhere in memory, let's grab this one. Somewhere over here in memory, I have some space to remember what main is doing. Because main is the method that's running. And int x means make a box and name it x. Okay? It's a special box. It's a box that can only hold ints. It cannot hold anything else. So I'll write that this is an int box. Okay? That's what that piece of code means. If I then say x equals 3, that means put a 3 into the box. Okay? If the next line after x equals 3 happened to be, say, x equals 7, then I would get rid of that 3 and I'd put a 7 in instead. Okay? So equals just means put it in the box. Has no obvious relationship to mathematics. It does not introduce constraints. It doesn't check if something is true. It just changes what is in the box. If I were to try to say x equals 3.1, Java would not let me do this. This is very much like trying to put a round peg in a square hole. The box I have is an int box. The value I have, 3.1, is a double value. Double values do not fit in int boxes. It will not let it happen. Okay? So I cannot do that. That is an error. And Eclipse will tell you it's an error with a red squiggly underline. Yes?
Does the same thing happen if you do the opposite, like try to put a...
No, actually. Okay? So if I were to make a double y and then say y equals 3, can you put an integer in a value that can also be fractional? Yep, it turns out you can represent 3 just fine as a decimal number. It's 3.0. Okay? So if I were to do this, y would be a box, it'd be a double type box. Okay? And what would get put in there is the double version of 3. So if it can go there without losing information, it will. If it can't, it won't. Yes? I'm sorry?
Why not always use double?
Why not always use double? Good question. Double is slower, which we don't really care about. And double is a lot slower, like 8, 10 times, sometimes 30 times, depending on what you're doing, slower. But when everything runs in like a billionth of a second, who cares, right? So for what we're doing, we could always use double. But the problem is that a lot of Java is built assuming you're using ints because they're faster. The other reason we don't always use double is because sometimes I want this variable to mean a count of something or an index or who you are, right? I am the 3.74th student in this class doesn't make any sense, right? It's semantically wrong. So sometimes ints are the right thing to do because I don't want that extra precision. For math, usually I want doubles, unless I really know I only ever want to have integer values. But sometimes we have to use ints anyway because that's what Java has. And frankly, sometimes we use ints because we don't care, and int is only 3 characters, and double is 5, 6, and we're lazy. Because sometimes it just doesn't matter. Other questions? Okay. Let's talk about something that isn't primitive. So you've seen turtles and worlds. They are not primitive types. They are types, but they are not primitive types. They aren't built into Java. Okay? But the most common non-primitive type we will see is string. String comes with Java, but it is an object type. Object types traditionally are written with capital letters, as in the person who designs the class gets to decide that. So whoever designed Java decides that string is a capital S, and so we're stuck with that. When we write our own, we'll also use capital S's like we do with Turtle and World. Okay. So I can make strings just with simple double quotes. They're the only type of object that I can make without using new. Every other type of object in the entire language requires the new operator to create one. Strings don't. Double quotes are enough. Because making the new operator and passing into parentheses a whole lot of characters is just annoying. So they put in the quotes as a shorthand way of creating strings. So strings exist. Strings are different than primitives in several ways. Okay? I can still print them out. Okay? But I can't use most operators on them. For example, it's not possible for me to say s times 4. Okay? It will not let me do that because this is a string times 4 is not a meaningful statement. I can't subtract things from it. I can't do very much to it. I can't use the operators on it. Most objects, you can't use any operators at all. String actually lets you use exactly one operator. The plus operator is the only one that works for strings. Okay? And it doesn't mean increase the string by 4. It means put a 4 at the end of the string. Okay? Let me move this around so we can see that. But okay. So when I add 4 to the string, a 4, a character 4, the letter 4, if you will, is at the end of my string. I added it on, made a bigger string out of it. Okay? And because that's what's happening, if I do s plus 4 plus 4, what happens? Order of operations, we go left to right, so we get s plus 4. And then that makes a, this is a string 4. And then we add another 4 at the end of that. Okay, so what happens first is the s plus 4 makes this as a string 4 as a string. That's a string of characters. I have another 4 on it. That other 4 shows up. Yes?
What's the difference between the string and when we put in text?
So when we put up text in the very top, good question. Okay, this right here was a string. Okay? Anytime we have stuff in double quotes, that's a string object. We can save it as a variable. We can use it right away. Just like this 3 was an integer, and so was this one. We can either use it right away, or we can save it and use it later. It doesn't matter. Does that answer your question? You don't look entirely satisfied.
Yeah.
Okay. Other questions? All right. Make sure I stay up on what I'm supposed to be doing here, and I don't know why that happened. All right, so I've got strings. Strings are objects. Because strings are objects, I can talk to them. I can use dot to ask them questions or have them do things. Okay? So I can say s dot, and there's a lot of things they can do. Okay, one of the things they can do, for example, is they can, well, there's so many, I'm not even going to look through. I can do the length of a string. Okay, the length of the string will tell me how many characters are in the string. So count each letter, it'll count each punctuation, it'll count each space, every individual character will tell me how many there are. And so in this is a string, there are 16 characters. Okay? So I can get the length. There's other things I can do. I can replace things in the string, right? So I could say I want to have a string where I replace all occurrences of I with E. And I see this as a string, okay? So replace actually uses 3 objects altogether. There's the one I'm talking to, and then there's 2 more that it uses to know what it's removing and what it's changing it into. There is a question. Yes?
About functions that
Good question. So string has magic powers with the plus operator. Anything plus a string, first what happens is the other thing turns into a string, and then we smash them together. Automatically happens under the hood. There's actually surprising amounts of machinery making that happen, but it's built into Java. Did they have to make that be what happens in Java? No, but somebody said, this happens so much, let's make it easy. Question?
So you put S plus 4 plus 4, could you have put S plus 44?
It would have looked exactly the same, yes. Okay, because 44 turns into the string 44. Yes?
You wanted to add another string to that string?
Uh-huh.
Would we put that one in
place? Yes. Yeah, so if I wanted to say, for example, plus hi, let's put a space there, okay? I have to put that in quotes. Because if I don't put it in quotes, Java will think the hi is a variable and look up and say, I don't have a variable named hi, I can't do that. So the quotes lets me say it's not a variable, it's some text. Yes? Can I have what? Ah, good question. Can I have two variables with the same name? The answer is always no if I'm in the same method. Okay? And the reason is because that makes all subsequent lines ambiguous. Which S did I mean? So it won't even let me start. It'll say, you've already got something named S, you can't make another one. I could make a capital S, because capital and lowercase letters are different. This is a bad idea, because Java can tell the difference, but I can't. Right? As a matter of fact, you could argue that having variables named S is a bad idea, because who knows what S means? So perhaps I should make this example string, or something. Okay, something more meaningful as I'm reading the code. Make it easier for me to modify it and see if it's doing the right thing. But I'll leave it as S for now because why not? But no, you cannot reuse names inside of one method. If I made a different method, either in a different class or another method in this one, I could use S over again there, be a different S, but I can't reuse it here. Other questions? Wah! Okay, well, it's got 9 minutes. We've only got 7 minutes of class. We'll be fine. All right. So, okay. So we talked about there's methods. We can get them. They give me back values. I don't have to just print out those values. Okay, my computer is killing me. All right, let's see. So, for instance, replace gives me a new string. So I could, instead of printing it out directly, I could save it. Same thing with operators, right? And I could say S. Okay, apparently my battery is low in my computer exchange. Becomes T. Okay? And now I see this is a string, becomes this as a string, right? They both around. Replace didn't change anything about the old object. It just gave me a new one, a new string with the new letters in it. And so I could save as a variable. I could use it however I want. Use it in other methods if I want to, and so on. All right. We're going to learn one more object, one more type of thing. And this is one that is going to be very important in your homework, which is why I'm going to make sure we get to it today. There is a class called Scanner. Scanners are able to read input from any different source I want to make it. I'm going to call my scanner, how about I call it from the keyboard? I make it a new scanner, and usually I make objects, I need to use the new operator to say I want to actually make one. I need a new scanner. I don't have one right now. I need one. When I make a scanner, I have to tell it from what should you read. And what we're going to do for the next several weeks is we're always going to read from something called system.in. Okay? System.out is how I put information into the console, into that window. System.in is how I get back what somebody types there. So I'm going to make a scanner that's capable of reading system.in. Now when I do this, Java's going to say, I don't know about scanner. You didn't tell me what a scanner means. So I'm going to grab the first option here, which is import the scanner. So that will add this line up here. So Java works on the assumption that you want very little names already there used in your code. If I want to have access to scanners, I need to tell Java I need access to scanners. And that is where scanners are located, sort of inside my computer's hard drive. So I say, yes, that's the scanner I want to use. Eclipse is clever enough to know how to add that for me. And now I have a scanner. Scanners can read what somebody types and tell me what they typed. Okay? So typically what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask them a question. Type a number. Okay? I'm going to tell somebody what I want them to do, because if I don't tell them, they won't know. And then I can say int number equals from the keyboard, because that's the name of my variable, dot next int. There are a number of methods that scanners have, and the ones we'll use the most are next something. So of all of the input that exists, everything they've ever typed, grab me the next thing, the next piece of that typing, and give it to me as if it was an integer. That's what that means. Okay? And then after that, I could say system.out.println, you gave me, and then I'll add that number. Okay? Very simple. We're not doing anything interesting here. So I ask for a number, I get the number, I print out what they gave me. I run this, I will see it stops here at type a number. Right now, the program is still running and it is waiting on next int. Next int is waiting for there to be an integer for it to return. So I type in here 34. And it says, you gave me 34, and stops running. It's done. If I run it again, and I type in a different number, negative 234, you gave me negative 234. Yes, I did. I'm so glad you could tell. Right? And I say, how about 3.14159265535? And it blows up. Why does it blow up? It's a number, right? It's not an int. I said I want the next int, and the next thing wasn't an int, and it blows up. We will eventually talk about how to avoid it blowing up, but for the first majority of the semester, we're just going to assume that whoever is using our program uses it the way we wanted them to use it, instead of the way they wanted to use it, which is fairly common. Most programs are written that way. Okay, let me talk briefly about homework. We'll talk more about it after, but let me just briefly say, so if you go to the webpage, you can go to homework, and I log in. I can't log in. I can log in that way. All right. Let me actually first show you what it looked like if I'm one of you instead of one of me. So if you go to the homework page, it'll make you log in so I know who you are. And my computer dies. Okay, so let me talk about what it looked like because I don't have time to turn on the other computer. It would take me almost as long to log that in. Sorry, I've only got 2 minutes. So let me talk about it briefly. You go there, it lists 5 assignments, 5 programs you need to write. For each one of them, there will be a one-sentence description of what it is, and then it'll ask you, does this sound interesting? Does this sound hard? I want that information, so in the future, I can give you more assignments that sound interesting, and probably not hard, right? You tell me, I will explain what the program should look like. There'll be example input and output, and then a place you can submit. So we'll talk about the individual homework assignments when we come back on Friday, as well as sort of finishing up a few of these basics of how Java works. You're welcome to look at it on your own. In the meantime, you have plenty of time to do it before it's due on Wednesday.